If you are a person that brought your Bible tonight, could you please turn in your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 34, if you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, that's fine. The other gift I want you to know about is that if you do not have a Bible, we'd like to give you a Bible as a gift. Maybe you've never had one before, and so when I say, get out your Bibles, you're like, but I don't even have one. So make sure to let me know. If you do not have a Bible, let me know about it. Ezekiel 34, okay? That's where we're going to be tonight for a bit of our discussion. It's a new year, right? It's a new year. How many of you guys made New Year's resolutions? Any of you? We're like, okay, I got to maybe do this a little bit differently. Maybe some of your parents have asked you to consider some New Year's resolutions. Like, hey, I would really love for you as my child to take more seriously your grades this year, right? Has anyone had a parent had the conversation like that? Or I'd really like you to consider maybe this. Or maybe I'd really like you to consider cleaning up your room every now and then. Whatever it is, New Year's are often new times. New Year's are often new times for you and I to kind of examine and do some kind of self-reflection. And what I've done over the last couple of weeks, I've been on vacation and I've loved it. I was able to like just like get away from work for a little bit, eject when you work full time. It's an amazing thing to do. And what I was so able to do as it was away was just spend some really good quality time with God and ask God things about myself. Ask God things about what He desires for me, and then ask God, as I get the privilege to do with each and every single one of you, is ask God, God, how do you want me to lead Lakeside Student Ministry? God, how do you want me to shepherd, as we're going to read a little bit about shepherds, how do you want me to shepherd well the sheep, which are you guys, that you have given me? How do you want me to do that? That's the Bible language for, and I think it's an incredible, like, we don't really know shepherd and sheep very well because we don't have, many of us don't live on farms of shepherd and sheep, but the shepherd's job is to care for the sheep. And so my job, given to me by God, is to care for you guys, to look out for your well-being. In Ezekiel 34, we're going to read it right now, and there's going to be some more verses tonight that I'm going to ask some of you to look up and then to read aloud, but this is where I want to start, okay? Ezekiel 34. Now, Ezekiel is a prophet, and a prophet was a guy that God spoke to and then said, now, prophet, in this case Ezekiel, take these words to the people. He was like the voice of God to people. He spoke on behalf of God. So this is what it says. The word of the Lord came to me. This is what he says. Son of man, prophesy, speak, in other words, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek them. Now some of you are like, ooh, this is kind of getting a little bit intense. What God is saying, okay, and this is very, very serious, especially as a person who's given the job to shepherd. What God says to Ezekiel to tell the people that were given the job of shepherds is, you guys have blown it. You haven't done your job. He's saying there's people out there that don't know the word of God. There's people out there that aren't being led. Because you know what? You care more about yourselves and your own well-being than you do the people that you lead. And so they're lost and they're wandering around and they don't know where to go. And this is the result of that. Therefore, every time we word a therefore, there's a particular reason that word is there for. You shepherds. Therefore, you shepherds. Hear the word of the Lord. This is like, okay, buddies, this is what's going to happen if we don't switch things up. "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd. And because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them." God's basically saying, shepherds, you've done the worst job in the world that you ever could have done leading my sheep. Now today, as Jake and I were leaving Lakeside Church to go home for dinner, this is a really cool, I'm excited that I get to tell you this story because it just happened. But we're leaving Lakeside Church, and there's some people out in the parking lot doing donuts all around the parking lot, okay? And that's not, I realize the parking lot's enormous, and it could be very, very fun. Lakeside's parking lot's probably like ideal location to do donuts, okay? But we go out there, and we have the job of either, because we've been told by Bill Lansborough, our executive director, if you see people doing donuts, please ask them not to, because it creates all these ruts in the parking lot, and then when we try to go, when the snow falls, and the guy tries to come and clean it off, he misses spots because there's big ruts in the parking lot. So Bill has said, go and ask people not to do that. So I was like, Jake, man, we got a cool opportunity. I was like, let's herd them like sheep. So I took off in my car, and Jake took off in his car, and it was amazing because Chris Steves, our music director, was out there at the same time too. And guess what? He came out and did it as well. So here we are, three cars, like, circling around this one car. It was so amazing. And we left, like, they suddenly saw us coming, and they're like, ah, they're coming after us. So they're like, they fled, and they went in the direction we wanted them to go. It was absolutely amazing. And Jake and I left the church with our fists, like, pumped out of our window. We're just like, yeah, yeah, we did a good thing today. It was so, so exciting. Now, what God is saying to these shepherds, He is saying, your job is to lead the sheep. Your job is to feed the sheep. Your job is to teach them. Your job is to look out for them. Your job is to also go and seek the sheep that are lost. And the problem is that these shepherds aren't doing that. They aren't doing their jobs. They're letting people go and do whatever they want to do, and they're not being led. And God says, if you don't do something about it, I'm going to step in and stop you from feeding them, and I'm going to take over and feed my sheep. Now, a couple of things are very, very exciting about this for us. Each of you, in some way, are shepherds. You might be like, I don't lead anybody, but some of you have younger brothers and sisters, and some of those brothers and sisters, you have been given the responsibility by God to lead them. They look up to you. They look at you and say, whoa, that's my older brother or sister. Sometimes they maybe don't seem like they care all that much for you, but they look up to you. This past Christmas, my family got to spend some time together. And we did this like share circle thing. It's amazing. Encouragement circle thing. And my dad first started off, and he's like, I just want to tell you all how proud I am of all of you. He's like, I love every single one of you guys so, so much, and I am proud of you because you're my kids. He's like, and not because of anything that you'll ever do or accomplish or that you have done. I love you and I'm proud of you simply because you're my kids. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. There was tears everywhere. It was like waterworks. And then my sister was like, Matt and Aaron, my younger brother, I look up to you guys so much, and I love you so much. We're just like, oh man, this is amazing. Like, it was so cool, and I'm so blessed to come from a family like that because I know so many of us don't. But what's so, so cool about that is the realization of my responsibility that my younger brother and sister look up to me. And maybe you don't have a younger brother or sister, but maybe you're going to have the opportunity to mentor other young people. And you're given the challenge this year, maybe in years to come, to lead them. And if you can't lead yourself, you're definitely not going to be able to lead them. And there was a problem going on with these shepherds because they were not leading. And this passage, as I was reading, I've been working through the book of Ezekiel, like shot arrows at my head. That's what it felt like. I've never been shot with an arrow, but if I were to get shot with an arrow, I'd imagine this is what it felt like. Because I was like, I think I've done an okay job at leading the sheep, but God, I've not been the shepherd that you've called me to be. And I started to examine some of the ways that I need to figure this out. And one of the ways is that I need to believe that the Word of God is sufficient. Okay? The Bible, the Word of God, this thing that is given to us by God, that is the only thing that we can truly trust in our world as absolute truth. You can trust nothing else than the Word of God. It has been tried and true time and time again, and this is God's breathed Word to us. Could somebody please look up Isaiah 55, 10 and 11? Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. You've all already done it tonight, but let's see if somebody can find it, and if you wouldn't mind reading it for us, it would be a huge, awesome pleasure for the rest of us and yourself because you get to speak with your booming voice. Who's got it? Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Charlie, stand up and with your beautiful booming voice, speak to us the words of the Lord. Perfect. Can anybody, let's all give Charlie a hand. Good. Can anybody tell me what those two verses tell us? Okay, this is an incredible truth, and I'll clarify maybe afterwards, but can anyone, when you read that before, did anyone pick up what it's actually saying? Leaders, this is all game for you too. What's this verse saying? Anyone? What's this verse saying? Any ideas? Verse 10 gives us this illustration metaphor. It says, as the rain come and as the snow come to the ground, it produces in the ground fruitfulness. So when the rain falls and the snow comes, it's going to do something on the ground that it falls. Either grass will grow or there'll be other sorts of vegetation, weeds, all of these different things. What this verse says is, it will happen. What verse 11 then says, what is that first word at the verse beginning of verse 11? When I was listening to you guys recite it, I listened for every one of those verses. So, this is what the writer is doing. Ezekiel's doing. He's saying, based on that, so it is with the Word of God. Do you get what this means? That when we speak and when we read the Word of God, just as snow and rain produce something automatically, so the Word of God will produce things in us automatically. It's beautiful. It's incredible. That is the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17, it says the Bible, the Word of God, is breathed out by God. It's His Word. In Isaiah 48, it says the Word of the Lord will stand forever. Some of you might be like, but we're not allowed to like stand in our schools and say it. That's okay, because the Bible will stick around forever. The Word of the Lord says that the Bible will be around forever. Therefore, guess what? The Bible will be around forever. It will stand around forever. Matthew 22, 9. Jesus, the Pharisees come to him, and they're like, Jesus, tell us a little bit about divorce. And Jesus' real problem with these guys is that they don't know the scriptures. And his challenge to them is, you aren't even like figuring out what it is that you're reading. And lastly, John 5, 39 says this, the scriptures bear witness about Jesus. The scriptures tell us about Jesus. Now, some of you might be like, oh man, like I've tried to read the Bible before, but it's just so boring. Okay, I get that. But let me try you one. When you were out there doing the sack race, what was your number one intention and motive when you went to read scripture? Speed, right? You're like, I've got to read this and get done as soon as I can so I can get back to racing back so my team will win. Many of us, and this is the reason, many of us approach our devotional time in the same way, where we're going about our lives on acid, speed, as fast as we can, and we get to the Bible and we're like, I hate sitting and reading. Done. And you go back to playing your video games or texting or doing whatever you do, and you don't truly take in what the Word of God says. That's the reason we did that game, and we tricked you into all of it. To teach you that just as you are playing sack race, focusing on all of these different things, if you approach the Word of God like that, trying to get done as soon as you can, not reading it or trying to understand it, you will not get anything from it. But if you approach the Word of God with a whole heart saying, God, I want to learn from your Word, and you quiet yourself before the Lord, as we're encouraged in the Psalms, and wait patiently for him, and God says, God, speak to me. And you can get a Bible that is easier to understand. There's lots of Bibles out there that are far easier to understand than some of the ones that I might read from. But it'll help you. And I'm going to tell you guys what. In the past, I want to ask for your forgiveness, because in the past, I have taught things, but I haven't always taught the Word of God. And if I believe the truth of Isaiah 55, that the Word of God will not return empty, then I should believe it by saying and preaching the Word of God constantly. And I want to ask for your forgiveness as, in a sense, my sheep, that I have been a bad shepherd at times and that I have gone to other sources and not the Word of God to teach you. Because it says here that the Word of God will not return empty, and I don't want any of these words to return empty, and I won't if I'm preaching the Word of God. So says the Bible. So says our example of truth. Secondly, what we learn from this passage in Ezekiel 34 is that youth group is a gathering, but we are the church. Who can look up 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10? 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 10. Oftentimes in our lives, we say, I'm going to go to church now. And ultimately, this is just bad thinking, because you know who the church really is? The church is the people of God. This is just a gathering of the church. That you guys are the church, and that this is simply a gathering. Who's got 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10? Anyone? Annie? You look like you have it. Would you please stand up? Would Annie Baker please stand up? Did you guys hear the one part? That you and I are a royal priesthood, a holy nation chosen by God, and we are adopted into the family of God, that he has called us out of darkness and into marvelous light. You see, the world was created, and God set Adam and Eve on the world, and he says, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth. And they're hanging out on this naked honeymoon, having a great time. But they give into temptation and enters the fall. Everything changes. Your desires, my desires, are automatically for selfishness. Some of us know this. Where we automatically think selfishly. We are sinners by nature and by choice. It's what we do. But based on this verse, we are a gathering of Christ followers brought together because of Jesus Christ, that he calls us out of the darkness into the light so we don't have to live in the sin-filled world forever. And one day, this is the most exciting thing, the battle's already been won, but one day we have to look forward to heaven. And that's light, and that's not darkness. That's not hell, that is heaven. And we've been saved from that because of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, is that we are a family. We're a family. Like, I want you to look around for a second. Like, do a quick peripheral, like, look around and turn your head a little bit. Guys, we are told in Scripture that we are adopted as children and God is our Father. So guess what? The people sitting around you, if they've asked Christ into their life and are living for Jesus, are your brothers and sisters. And some of you who are in grades 12 and some of you who are in grade 9s, and you guess who's your older brothers and sisters? The grade 12s. And if you're younger, guess who your brothers and sisters are? The other ones. And we are the family of God. We have been adopted into the family of God. It's a beautiful thing. But here's the challenge for us this year, okay? Since we are the family of God, we've got to treat one another like we are family. Now, some of you are like, ugh, you would not want me to treat the person beside me as if I'm treating them like my family, okay? And that's probably completely true. But guess what? I'm guessing you are most, I know it's probably awful, but I want you to understand that you're probably most yourself when you're with your family. And you know the deepest hurts sometimes of the people in your family. You know the most about them because you do life with them. And what we're told in Scripture is that we're to do life together as well. You see, the shame in the way that the North American church is now set up is that every week you guys come together and we hang out for 2 hours, and then some of you come on Sundays and we hang out for an hour there. You know what the problem with that is? If you're trying to be a good parent or a good brother and sister to somebody for 3 hours a week, you probably wouldn't know them very well. And so what we're called to is to prioritize one another and to be the family of God, to do life together, to care for one another, and to seek each other out and speak truth into one another's lives. If there is somebody in this family, because this is our family, that feels like a lesser brother or sister, that's a problem. It's like in a family, if someone was not getting treated fairly, that's a problem, because we are all the family of God. You might not know somebody on the other side of the room, but that doesn't mean that you don't disrespect nor love them, because they are your family. Guys, the girls around here, you are your sisters in Christ. Don't treat them as objects. And girls, these men are your brothers in Christ. Allow them to lead as men. We are the family of God, and Jesus, he's our big brother. And he's leading us to the Father God. That's incredible. We're a family. We are a family. I love it. And number six, what this passage tells us is that we only change as much as we are willing to be honest. You see, I don't think these shepherds were being very honest with themselves, right? And the people weren't being very honest with the shepherds, because if they truly cared about their shepherd, they might have gone to their shepherd and said, hey, buddy, you're not leading us very well. And if the shepherd was being honest with the sheep, he might have gone to the sheep and been like, yo, I'm crappy. And they would have said back, yeah, you're not really helping us very well. In your small groups, in our family, you will only change as much as you're willing to be honest. What I mean by this is that if you want to change, if you see something in yourself that you don't like, you will only change if you're willing to admit that to another person. You see, if you want forgiveness, you go to God. If you want to change, you go to your brother and sister in the Lord. And you say, hey, I'm wrestling with this. Some of you maybe have stuff that you're like, this is an addiction that I'm dealing with. I want to get rid of this. Tell somebody. And tell somebody that cares for the good of you, that will call you out on it. You see, if you go to somebody that doesn't have the same morals as you, they'll be like, yo, I struggle with that too, and what's the big deal? Like, if you go to somebody, if you're having troubles sexually or with sexting or something like this, and you go to somebody else that's sex, they're going to be like, there's no problem with sexting. Like, there's no problem with that. But if you go to someone who cares enough for you to call something out in you, that'll be the good for you and the good of your family. And number six, we need to be intentional with one another. This is a few words for intentional. Deliberate, conscious, intended, planned, meant, done on purpose, premeditated, pre-planned. When we are intentional with one another, we go to people and we speak into their life, and we ask them to allow us to speak into their life. And we're real. You see, some of you guys maybe are like, I have no other Christian friends. And so I come to youth and, you know, I'm kind of acquaintances with the other guy. Well, actually, your brother's with that guy, or your sister's with that girl. So you should try to get to know them. And that's what the family of God needs to be about intentionality, about getting to know one another, about saying, hey, this weekend, do you want to hang out? Or saying, hey, I've got an issue with this area in my life. Can you help me work on this? But it's going the extra mile of saying, hey, I've got to figure this out. Will you walk alongside me? And number six, the problem with these people is these people were deceived. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things. You guys know what deceit is and deception? When you're deceived, you don't even know that you're deceived. So you think everything is fine in your life, when in reality, it's not. You think it's okay to do the things that you do, and you have no idea differently. How scary is that to be? That you're doing something you know you shouldn't do, but you believe you're doing something you should do. And what Scripture tells us, the Word of God tells us, is that your heart, your very nature, is deceitful. You know what this tells me? And us, you can't even trust your heart. You can't even trust your heart. Because your heart will lead you down the wrong path every time. Some of you maybe have had that thing where it's like, oh, I like this girl so much, like she makes me feel so happy, or you like this guy so much, he makes me feel happy. If this is not a relationship that you've gone over with God about, you can't trust your heart, because your heart is deceitful. It will lead you into places you don't want to go. Proverbs 14:2 says, a way that seems right to you always leads to death. The way that seems right to you will lead to death. Proverbs 14:2 says, you can't even trust your own heart, because if you trust your heart, it'll lead to death. You've got to trust in Jesus Christ, because he is the only thing that will lead you to truth. And finally and lastly, and the most important point of all of this, and what God is calling these shepherds to understand, is that Jesus is the center of our lives. Some of you guys have maybe been like, okay, prioritize your 2013. This is what I'm going to do. God's going to be number one, and then my family, and then my schoolwork. And then throughout the year, you start struggling. You're like, okay, right now, like, family's number one, and this is number next. And, oh, shoot, God's number three. Guys, if you, this is what you'll do if you do it in that way. You'll be like, okay, what does it look like for God in that priority? Okay, so that's youth group, that's church, that's my small group time, that's reading my Bible, that's doing devotions, that's doing all these things. But you'll never do enough of that to meet up with how much time you're spending with your family. And is God actually saying, when we put him number one, that he should therefore be, you should spend more time with him than your family? I don't believe he is. You see, this is what God means when he wants to be number one in our lives. He wants to be at the center of our lives. So that when we engage in our schoolwork, we do it through the lens of Jesus Christ, that he saved us from our sin. He's saving us right now from the sin that we still carry out and do, because after you come to know Jesus, you don't become perfect. And then he will one day save us from the penalty and punishment that we so rightly deserve. Jesus is the center of your life. That you do family life with Jesus. You do school life with Jesus. You do your sports with Jesus. You do your work life with Jesus. Because we're all in this family. You know why we do things like retreats? Because we want to spend time together as a family. And you will never get to know your family very well if you don't spend time with your family. And so that's why we do retreats. And that's why I'd encourage you to go on this retreat weekend, to get closer to your family, to be intentional, to care. But guys, each of us this year has an opportunity, especially in this youth group, to maybe do some work on ourselves, to maybe put Jesus at the center of our lives. Maybe you don't know completely what that looks like, and that's fine, because a lot of us are on that same journey. But I would encourage you this year, and this is my promise to you guys, is that I am going to do my best to shepherd you well, to lead you well. That if there are those of you that are lost, if there are those of you that are sick, if there are those of you that are caught, that I will do my very best to seek you out, to find you. And that's the same promise that each of your leaders and volunteers, the people that oversee your small groups, have also made to me and to God, first and foremost. That they would lead you, that they would shepherd you. And so if you see that your shepherd is not leading you well, you have the right, for the good of yourself and for that shepherd, to call that shepherd out, either to that shepherd or to me. And your shepherd has the right to call you out, because they know what is best for you. If a sheep desires to go in a pasture where there's lots of green stuff, but there's cheetahs that the shepherd knows about, it would be mean of the shepherd not to go get that sheep away from the cheetahs, right? But the sheep's like, no, it's all green, it's fine. The shepherd's like, nah, buddy, there's a cheetah over there. I made that up on the spot. That is how we are to be with one another, and that is what I'm called to. And once again, I ask for your guys' forgiveness. We're going to sing a song right now, and Justin's going to lead it. And it's called Your Love Never Fails, and it's by a band called Jesus Culture. And the words of this song are so, so amazing. It goes, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Guys, Jesus is the center. He's the only thing that matters. And my desire for our youth ministry in 2013 is that, number one, the Word of God is primary. Number two, that we're intentional about our relationships. We realize that we are a family. We're honest with one another. And so on and so forth. Because God is the center. And you know what's amazing? We do everything. Why are we intentional? Because Jesus was freaking intentional by coming to this world to die on the cross for your sins. Truly. And why are we honest with one another? Because Jesus was honest enough to look at our sin and say, something's got to happen there. They can't save themselves. I'm going to step in and take it. That when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he was welcoming you and I into the family of God and becoming our big brother and leading us to the Father. Let me pray, and then we're going to stand and chant and sing this song as loud as we can. And then you can spend some time in small group with your small little family, and then we're going to have snack together as a big family. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are our God, that you are our Father, and that we are your children. God, I thank you that you adopt us into your family, God. And maybe we don't fully know what that means, but I pray, God, that we would not be like these people in the book of Ezekiel. God, that we would not be like these shepherds with whoever we are leading. Maybe it's a younger brother. Maybe it's a little kid in Lakeside Kids. God, maybe it's even a young kid on the playground. Whatever it is, God, who knows? But you do. God, may we lead well. May we be shepherds, God, that are willing to speak into people's lives, be intentional in people's lives, God, because Jesus, you were intentional by stepping into our life, God, and saving us from the punishment that we so rightly deserve each and every single day, God, and you save us from that. So, God, may we live our lives with Jesus at the center, God, because he's the only thing that matters. And God, I pray that we would not be spoken to by, like the words of Ezekiel to these shepherds, that you will come and remove us from our positions, from what we are doing, our areas of influence, God, if we do not put you first and lead that way. So Heavenly Father, we give ourselves to you. God, I pray that we would recognize that your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us. God, may we put you first. God, we come together as a family singing now. Thank you, Lord. Amen.